It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Do you like to spaff millions? Do you know the sweet taste of a well-used chip or the reckless thrill of picking an Arsenal defender? If so, your fantasy manager material and the official Fantasy Premier League podcast is the show for you. Because every week we'll be here to give you everything you need to tame the wild stallion of fantasy fortune and ride to victory. Welcome, everybody. And here with us for our first show, we have Julien Laurens.
Hello, James. Hello, everyone.
Tom Williams.
Hello, James.
Fantasy expert Neil Rigg.
Hello, James.
And you, listener, if you're a veteran manager, one of the 6.5 million who played worldwide last year, welcome back. And if you're new to this, then well done, because you're not going to regret it. Nothing makes the Premier League as enjoyable as having fantasy skin in the game.
No, I've been playing fantasy football now in the Premier League game for about 12 seasons, I think. Wouldn't be the same without it.
Jules, what's your golden rule for building a team?
The most important for me, James, is try not to get the kids involved too much in picking the team. Because in our house...
You'll win nothing with kids, is that the...
I mean, I know that's the saying, but my two boys, who are 6 and 10, had to be involved because they're too young to have their own team.
Right.
So they wanted to get involved and knowing that we were doing this as well. And even our baby, she's 2 in September and she had a say.
What did she do?
We were throwing names at her and she was saying yes or no. And then some
And you build your team on that basis?
Well, I had to. I was under pressure. You know, even Mrs. Laurens as well was involved in it. So it's a family business, clearly.
Yes.
And I'll tell you next week how visionary my children are.
Excellent. It's a nice thing to involve the family together, Neil.
Yeah. I've gone the other way. So Jules has got his kid involved. I've got my parents involved for the very first time, making their FPL debuts at the age of 60.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you do a team together, or have they got their own independent outfits?
They've got their own independent teams. They refuse to accept my help.
Really?
Which is rather noble of them. But I dare say they'll do a lot better than I will.
Ha!
I spoke to a chap called Yusuf Sheikh last season, who came top of the pile in Fantasy Premier League in 2017-18. And he said that he would consult his wife on captaincy decisions. She was not a massive football fan, but she'd have a look. And if she liked the name, if she liked the kit, it'd be yes. If she wasn't sure, it'd be no. And he ended up winning the whole thing. So
we're doing it all wrong.
There you go.
So you do it.
It's funny, isn't it? For example, my son years ago used to do a team with me. And I remember one week he unexpectedly said, I want Jonathan Walters in the side of Stoke. And brilliantly, Jonathan Walters went and scored a hat-trick.
Oh, wow.
But I hadn't put him in because I knew better. And I've never told him that. So
unforgivable.
I hope Chago is not listening.
Neil, how long have you been playing fantasy for now?
More than half my life. I think certainly as a precocious teenager, I rang my own fantasy league, involved my parents and my friends and people like that. I was always destined to do this for a living, but I think officially in FPL, at least 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
A wealth of knowledge then that you can offer us as we try and lay the ground rules for putting a successful team together. What's the golden rule for you?
I look at a number of things. I think firstly, look for tried and tested players who've done this in the past. Your reliable folk like your Salahs, your Sterlings, your Sigurdsons, at least to start off until we see where the ground lies. I look at value from the previous season. So we will discuss in a bit. The defenders were offering a lot of value in terms of points per million.
Hmm.
And I look at fixtures, which again is something we'll discuss in a moment. But if you've got a sea of a green on the FDR ticker, then that is very attractive to me.
FDR is a fixture difficulty.
That's right, yeah.
What's the R stand for?
Rating.
Brilliant. Okay. And you can actually download a PDF, I don't know what those stand for, from the Fantasy Premier League's excellent website, which gives you a wonderful, as you say, colour-coded map of who's got a really nice run of games coming up and it's worth getting their players in. It's a brilliant feature of the website. And we'll look as the weeks go by at some of the things that you can find on the website to help you tweak your team. Tom, what's your golden rule for putting a team together?
Yeah, similar really. I think it's important to pick players who you know are going to start, which is probably not as easy as it sounds. At each club, there's only ever usually about 6 or 7 players who you can say are definitely going to start every single game.
For that reason, do you avoid Man City players?
City players are difficult. I mean, like last season, I think a lot of people expected Leroy Sané to have a big season and picked him from the start, and then it turned out he didn't actually play all that much. And as a rule, I find that sort of the higher you go up the table, the more the chances of rotation, because the top managers have got more players at their disposal. So you have to be careful with the players you pick. And yeah, as Neil was saying, picking players who've been there and done it, I mean, there's something very appealing about big-name signings, particularly big-name signings from overseas. But I always tend to think you can never be sure how a player is going to settle in the Premier League, even after a positive pre-season. So I tend to hang back and sort of wait to see how they settle in before giving them a chance.
That's fair. Equally, though, you run the risk of missing out on someone like a Mo Salah who comes in and just tears it up from day one. And those differentials, those kind of foreign potential stars are where we may be able to help people, Jules.
Yes, because Tanguy Ndombele, I think at 6 million is a really good shout. But how is he going to adapt to the way Spurs are playing and to the Premier League? Can he hit the ground running straight away, or would he need a bit of time?
You've got a foreign differential that you think might be worth having a punt on, haven't you?
100%. I'll mention that a bit later on.
Okay then, you tease. So, but don't forget the differentials, because they'll certainly help you bring in the big name, big price players into your team. And obviously don't forget to pick a really funny name. That's almost the most important thing of putting your team together. Previous classics include Guilty Pleasures, Deanie in a Bottle, Neville Wears Prada, Tortoise and De Hare. I like that one, Tom.
Oh, very nice.
What's your team called this year?
I wanted to go for Inanimate Carbon Rodri.
Too many letters.
Too many characters. So I've gone for a slightly obscure Austin Powers reference. I've gone for Get In My Ndombele, which is a fat quote, if I'm not
can
mistaken.
You say
no,
that?
I probably can't say that.
Probably can't say that.
Oh, my God. Right. I think you need to leave the room.
Sorry, guys.
No.
Can we bleep it out?
Neil, what's your team called?
Well, I've eschewed the puntastic filth, and I've gone with my Twitter handle, which is self-promotion at its worst. But it's Skonto Riga, which for the European enthusiasts,
right? Yeah,
the defunct Latvian team, Skonto Riga, and my name incorporated.
Well, that, I think that's a valid route, isn't it? You either go with cheesy pan or obscure Skonto Riga reference. Jules, which way have you gone?
Pepe don't preach.
Pepe don't preach. That's quality.
It's my wife who found it, I have to say.
Now, the opening weekend is almost upon us. First fixture is on a Friday, so it's a Friday 7 p.m. UK time deadline for your teams. Don't leave it to the last minute, though, because a lot of people might be trying to do that, and it's better just to get everything in and early, I would say. We're going to pick out the key fixtures from Game Week 1 after this. Right, opening round of the Premier League season, Game Week 1. It begins on a Friday, 8 p.m. Liverpool taking on Norwich. Everyone, or a vast number of managers, Tom, are going to be interested in this because everyone's got loads of Liverpool players. Who have you gone for and why?
I've gone for two Liverpool defenders, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson, and Mo Salah, who's got the captain's armband. I think the defenders are quite self-explanatory. They were two of the top three highest-scoring defenders last season, 25 assists between them, and a fantastic defensive record. Liverpool only let in 22 goals last season, which was the best record in the country. Norwich were the top scorers in the Championship, but of course this is a step up, and it's at Anfield, so I think strong possibility of a double clean sheet from those pair, and maybe a couple of assists as well, and you'd back Mo Salah to start the season well. He got into a lot of good shooting positions against Manchester City in the Community Shield, and he's also scored in both of his opening day fixtures for Liverpool so far.
Is that right?
He is an early riser.
Okay. Only five players in Fantasy Premier League have over 30% ownership among managers worldwide. Four of those five play for Liverpool. They've got the highest owned goalkeeper, Alisson, three of the highest four defenders, Van Dijk, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold, and in Mo Salah, the highest owned midfielder. Neil, where do you think of those players, or indeed other Liverpool players, we should be going for with our maximum three?
I think, I mean, you don't need a fantasy expert to come on and tell you that Salah is, you know, a must for me. Personally speaking, he's already set as my captain for Game 8-1. I think, if anything, he underachieved last season based on XGI. His goal conversion rate was actually quite low down, I think something about 16%. Mane's, in comparison, was about 25%. So I'd be amazed if they are that far apart again this season. So Salah is, I mean, we saw what Tom said there in the Community Shield, 10 shots himself, more than Man City managed in total. So he is set and forget captain for game week one. For whatever else changes between now and then, he's definitely in. Alexander Arnold as well. I think he's on set piece duties. With James Milner playing less of a prominent role, he turns 34 this season.
Right. So do you think that Alexander Arnold will be doing penalties then?
Not penalties as such, no, but corners and free kicks.
Right. Penalties are a massive thing this year, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We there's been different results from around Europe. We don't know how it will affect Premier League, but Salah as a deputy penalty taker behind Milner.
Right.
Is something that's another string to his bow, because Milner is not going to play as much, I don't think.
And with the introduction of VAR to the Premier League, we're expecting the number of penalties given to rise. But sorry, you were saying about Trent Alexander-Arnold taking set pieces. So you'd have him ahead of maybe Robertson for that reason?
I think so. My only worry is we've seen a lot in pre-season, his fallibilities as a defender exposed against Napoli. And I worry about Gomez's return to fitness. I know he's seen long term as a centre half, but he can play there. So that is my only concern. I think Robertson's more nailed as a left back.
Okay. And what about having Alisson as a, to borrow your expression, set and forget goalkeeper?
If that's the way you want to play it, the premium goalkeeper option, then he's probably the best. Most clean sheets last season, fewest number of goals conceded, isn't going to be rotated. So you can put him in there, he'll get you at least 15 clean sheets again this season, probably something closer to 20. And there's a lot to be said for that security.
Have you gone for Alisson, Jules?
Yes, I have. I have. And I like. I don't want to change my keeper every week. Maybe that makes me weird, but I like the fact that he's there and I don't really have to worry about that position.
Yeah. Excellent. Right.
I used to go for two cheapo goalkeepers and then rotate them. But it just becomes a nightmare because dropping one is a surefire guarantee that they will get an unexpected clean sheet away from home, and that the guy you've gone with will let in three in front of his own fans. So I've gone for Ederson this season, but I'm also going for a set and forget goalkeeper approach.
Right, my set and forget choice is Alisson, Neil.
Nick Pope. not quite a set and forget. I did a bit of research into this, actually, and I looked into, I think it was Fabianski and one other keeper who I rotated with last season, maybe Ben Foster.
Mm.
And I worked out I would have scored exactly the same by playing Fabianski as I did from rotating the two. So
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I like the way you say I did a bit of research into this, as if we just came up with our opinions.
Casting no aspersions.
Jules, Harry Kane is the most owned forward in Fantasy Premier League, and a lot of people will be giving him the captain's armband ahead of Spurs' opening fixture this weekend, which is against Aston Villa.
So this is my theory, and hear me out, okay? Harry Kane never scores, ever, on the opening day of the league. 2014 against West Ham, doesn't score. 2015 against United, doesn't score. 2016 against Everton, doesn't score. 2017 and 18 against Newcastle, doesn't score either.
No one died.
At some point, the guy is going to score on the opening match. And this is this one. This is this weekend.
Do you think he is going to score?
He
never scores.
At some point, the duck is going to break. Is that what you say in English?
That's exactly what we said.
It was the August drought, wasn't it? And then that ended last year. So
And it's now. So have him in your team as captain this weekend. Trust me, he's going to score at home as well against Villa.
You mentioned the FDR.
Mm.
And Spurs, if you do look at that, Spurs have got green all the way. Well, I mean, certainly good home games all the way to Christmas morning.
This is it, yeah. The first eight home fixtures are all against sides who were in the bottom half last season or in the Championship. So a sea of green at home. Yes, there are some troublesome fixtures away, but here's a stat for you. No FPL asset last season scored more attacking returns than Kane away from home. Despite his injury problems, despite the games he missed, not even Salah, not Sterling, not Mane, Kane had more attacking returns, 15, than any of those away from home.
That's remarkable. Harry Kane, who finished the last season with injuries kind of hanging over him, hampering his performances, is he back to full fitness now, Tom?
Yeah, I think he'll have had a decent summer break after the Nations League. And he's looked pretty sharp in pre-season.
Very good, in pre-season.
You know, scored a few goals and the sort of chances that you need to be pretty switched on to take. You know, we know he's going to start every game because who else are Spurs going to pick? I've got him in my team, potential future captaincy contender. But yeah, as Neil was saying, you look at those home fixtures, Villa, Newcastle, Palace, Southampton, Watford, Sheffield United, Bournemouth, Burnley, takes you up to the middle of December. So I think that's another set and forget for me.
Nice. You're loving that phrase.
Yeah, am I overusing it already?
Yeah, maybe,
I only learnt it yesterday when we were planning this. I was like, yeah, I'm going to use that. But don't overdo it.
Aston Villa, just to mention them, a lot of people talking about Wesley they're signing up front as one to watch. And they equally, after this trip to the new Spurs stadium, have a very decent run of games. Neil, what's your view on value in Villa?
Yeah, I'm not going to be a Wesley crusher and dismiss that suggestion, because he looks like he may be taking penalties at Villa. They had Tammy Abraham taking those last season, who was obviously on loan from Chelsea. So I think they've got a bit of a void, and he has taken a penalty in pre-season. So as you were...
Did he score it?
He did, as you were saying before about VAR coming in. Something to watch, possibly.
I'm hoping that Jack Grealish will take penalties, because he's in my team. I think this could be a very good season for him, especially if he plays with the old boots that he wore on the playoff final that obviously brought him and Villa so much luck. But I think Grealish is a good shout. I think it's a good shout, especially with that run of fixture, you know, quite easy if you want, or, you know, not too difficult after this Tottenham opening game.
Excellent. In football terms, the standout fixture this weekend is probably Man United-Chelsea. And there are one or two questions there. Ross Barkley, what kind of role he's going to play under Frank Lampard for Chelsea. And also the new signings at the back for United, Wan-Bissaka and Maguire. Very briefly, Neil, you think it's too early to get in on them. Is that right?
I'm going to wait and see. Yeah, both Chelsea and Man United have got two fairly difficult fixtures to start with, so I'm going to wait till game week 3.
All right, tell us instead then about West Ham's clash with Man City.
Yeah, now this maybe on paper doesn't look as appealing as Liverpool v Norwich, but City have got the real hex over West Ham. They certainly at in East London. The last four fixtures in all competitions, City have won 5-0, 4-0, 4-1, 4-0. And they've already beat them 4-1 this summer as well in the Asia Trophy over... was it in China or Japan? I can't remember. But yeah, I am going big on Sterling. I think he's expensive. He costs a lot of money, a lot of your budget's eaten up, but he's a nailed-on starter this weekend for me.
Is he?
Yeah, I think because of, obviously, Aguero and Gabriel Jesus have come and laid back from Copa America.
Right.
He might start up front, but regardless of where he plays, he's going to get you points, especially against West Ham.
Sterling. It's a powerful case you make, but we've all been burned by Guardiola's picks in the past.
Yeah, he is one of the more reliable starters.
Bernardo Silva at the start of last season had a really great run of games and returns. Is that something you see might happen again? Because he's 4 million cheaper than Sterling.
He is, yeah. I think we saw in the Community Shield what he's about. He's a classy player, but he never looks like he's going to translate those displays into FPL returns. Certainly look at the underlying stats. I think I'd be more interested in De Bruyne, who is, 2.5 million cheaper than Sterling. He's on set pieces. Yes, he plays a bit deeper, but he's an assist merchant. I think people are looking at last season and forgetting what he did prior to that.
My big dilemma is on Aguero, because one, he does very well against West Ham. I think he scored 7 in his 13 Premier League matches against them, or 11 Premier League matches against them. But will he start? That's the thing. He only came back on 31st of July from his holidays. He didn't appear in the Community Shield, didn't come on the Community Shield. And I shouldn't be sat next to Neil, because now I'm thinking, like, oh, man, should I keep him in my team, Aguero, or not? And I've texted Pep. I haven't had a reply yet, but I'll...
If you could let us know.
Yeah, I'll let you know if Pep comes back and says, don't worry, he's going to start.
I had Aguero, but dropped him.
Right.
For that exact reason. Not being 100% sure that he's going to start.
What City have you got in, Tom?
City I've got Edison between the sticks. I've got Aymeric Laporte, who was City's most used defender last season. City, fantastic defensive record, only letting one more goal than Liverpool. And Laporte is the best candidate to start every game. I know he missed the Community Shield, but I don't think it was anything serious. I've gone Bernardo Silva. I take Neil's point that his attacking returns aren't comparable to some of City's other midfielders, but at 8 million, he's priced very attractively. I think with Leroy Sané potentially being on his way out and picking up a knock in Community Shield, that only strengthens Bernardo Silva's chances of starting. And I think this will be the season when we see Bernardo Silva properly take over from David Silva as the other key man in central midfield for City. So I'm backing him to have a big season.
So you're always a little bit of a guessing game as to who's going to be in the starting lineup, but they are what you might term, Neil, fixture-proof. Doesn't matter who they're playing, they're generally worth a while.
Yeah, very much so. I think I look for fixtures in all but two teams in the Premier League, and they are Liverpool and City, who I think are fixture-proof. And I think this weekend, West Ham, given their troubles last season, 7 clean sheets, as only Fulham and Huddersfield had fewer. And they've been shipping them in pre-season as well, so I'm expecting another goal fest, I think.
Fantastic, fantastic. Oh, just one last thing very quickly on this fixture. West Ham's Allaire. Am I pronouncing that right, Jules?
Yes, Sébastien Allaire.
People thinking, I mean, is their record signing? Is he worth getting in, do we think?
Let's wait a little bit. I mean, put him on your watch list and see how he does. It's a hard first game for him against City, to be fair, even at home. So, but he's got good potential to be very good.
Jules, this watch list, how does that actually work?
Yeah, I mean, this is not a new feature, Jimbo, but you could add players that you're interested in and not putting them in your team, but see how they're doing along the way of the season.
Where do I find that? On the transfers page. Oh, yeah, I find it here. It's on the transfers page. So I just click on that and I basically put any players I want in. Yeah. It'll keep me updated.
Exactly. And put Allaire on that.
Allaire. Oh, I thought you were being French. No, right. Sorry, right. Excellent. Well, those are the fixtures this weekend. After this, we're going to have a look a little bit further down the Premier League road in a section we call the Long View. Long View, with the season yet to begin, Neil, pretty much about checking out who's got oceans of green in their fixture list.
Yeah, you can view fixture difficulty by player, by team, or you can download a PDF file, I believe, from the FPL website.
Yeah, I've got it here, actually. It's a lovely file. It forms a curious coloured mosaic of red and green and grey and the odd purple fixture in there as well. The teams that really leap out at you are Everton, who've got a great run of games. Bournemouth have as well. Aston Villa, although there are question marks, they being a newly promoted side. Spurs with, as Neil was mentioning, those good home fixtures. Who stands out for you, Tom?
Yeah, I think Everton are very attractive. I've got Luca Digne in my back four, one of the standout defenders of last season. And yeah, you look at those first Everton games, away at Palace, home to Watford, away at Villa, home to Wolves, away at Bournemouth, home to Sheffield United. So they play two of the promoted teams in that run. And you'd expect them to get some decent points on the board. Dean had a fantastic season last season, very attacking left back. And you know that if he's fit, he'll start. So I'm going with him. And then you mentioned Bournemouth, attractive couple of opening fixtures, home to Sheffield United and away at Villa. And I've gone for Josh King, who's a little bit cheaper than Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser. Looks like he'll be on penalties as well this season.
Anyone else, Jules?
No, I think West Ham are interesting as well. I know they play City in the first game, and obviously that this one is a very tricky one. But after that, away at Brighton, away at Watford, home to Norwich, away at Villa, three away games there, but games that certainly are winnable for them.
And that takes us up to the first international break, I think, which is a really key time in your fantasy management. And Neil, we probably should have a quick word here about wildcards, because I know it's really tempting. You start out the season with a whole bunch of these kind of magic cards, two wild cards, one of which has to be used by the 28th of December, and the second one then becomes available. There's other things like the bench boost, the triple captain, the free hit, which makes your team turn into another team for 1 week and then revert back to the original, to put it in very layman's terms. For the first half of the season, is the wild card the only chip that people should be looking at using?
That is my personal preference. I tend to save the chips for when the fixtures get either condensed into a double game week or when there's a sparsity of fixtures in a blank game week, which tends to happen towards the back end of the season. Now, we might have a bonus, a blank game week and double game week early in the season, or before Christmas anyway, because of Liverpool playing in the World Club Championship?
Championship, whatever
it's called now. Yeah, so that's something to watch. But yeah, personally speaking, my wild card is the only chip I'd use before Christmas, and I try and delay that as long as I possibly can.
Okay, there is a body of opinion that feels that opening international weekend, 4 weeks into the season, represents a good chance, if you have really mucked up your opening selection of players, to go in and just sort it out.
That's what it's there for, really. I mean, you use it at your own discretion. The hope is that you've picked such a good team in game week one that you can delay it. But if you've realised you messed up early on, then by all means use it, because you can swiftly make up ground by correcting those early mistakes.
I'm a consistent early user of the wild card. First international break, usually by that point I'm already sick of my entire team. Cannot believe what idiot picked them in the first place. And also by that point all the transfer windows have closed around Europe, so you know which Premier League players are going to be there until the end of the season, or at least until January. You've got an idea about who's in form, who's playing. So yeah, as Neil says, ideally you wouldn't have to use it, but there's no shame in doing so if you do.
Absolutely not. And if you're really clever, you can use it to boost your budget by riding the price rises. That's something we'll talk about maybe as we get towards that first international break. Next up, essential differentials. Nothing more satisfying than shopping away from the popular picks, uncovering low-priced, high-performing players that many managers simply won't have even heard of, Tom. I think, Jules, you've got one. Is that right?
I've got one, yeah. I went for Pablo Fornals.
Right, why?
The Spanish under-21 international, who's 23, but, you know, did very well at the Euros with Spain that he won, with Dani Ceballos, who signed for Arsenal. I thought he was outstanding last season for Villarreal, although his numbers are not the greatest, so I can understand the reserve. He only scored 2 goals, assisted 3 in La Liga. But I think the Premier League will suit him perfectly, and I think he will have a big impact on this West Ham team to create chances, to score goals. He can score from outside of the box as well. I think he's a real threat.
So in the Liga, he scored 3 goals. Sorry, he scored 2 goals and assisted 3.
Yeah. So the numbers are not great.
Then really not.
Stay with me. But I think he has great potential.
Neil,
it's an essential differential, right?
Yeah, that's a bit too different.
It's not too differential, trust me.
Neil, who have you got your eye on?
A very left-field pick, which is apt because he plays on the left of midfield, is Leandro Trossard from Brighton. Now, not many people will be either aware of him or considering him, but Brighton's got some decent fixtures. We talked about FDR earlier, and Graham Potter is a lot more attack-minded than Chris Hughton was. And Pascal Gross, there doesn't seem to be any place for him in this Brighton side. So Trossard has assumed set-piece responsibilities.
OK. Do you want to tell us a little about Trossard, Jules?
Yeah, we don't pronounce the D, though. It's a bit like Giroud. You don't say the D.
So Trossard.
Trossard, yeah. You stop at the R. And he was excellent with Genk. He won the league with them. And was excellent last season. I think he's 14 goals and 7 assists.
That's right, yeah.
In the Belgian league, which, you know, has proven to be a very good transfer market for English clubs, to be fair. So it comes with a lot of potential. Again, it's like, how will he adapt to, especially the physicality, because he's quite a short player, with the physicality and the pace of the Premier League. But certainly, he fits much better with Potter than he would have done with Hughton, who I'm not sure would have signed him anyway. But yeah, it sounds like a very good signing on paper.
Interesting. Differentials, just to clarify, players, generally speaking, with under 5% ownership, they tend to be cheaper. But the real bonus is the fact that other managers won't get the points that they bring you because they just don't have them. Who have you got your eye on, Tom?
A couple of midfielders. Ross Barkley at Chelsea, who at 6 million is a decent price.
How many goals did he score last season? How many assists?
Last season was, you know...
No, just tell me.
Hey, says the man who just told us...
Why don't you pick
on
him then?
Says the man who just told us to pick Pablo Fornals.
Yeah!
Who scored 2 goals in his entire career. No, I get that Barkley's stats last season weren't exceptional, but I think he's going to play an important role this season under Frank Lampard. He's been taking penalties and free kicks in pre-season. He's been in fantastic form. Fixture-wise, Chelsea's opening fixtures are a little bit fiddly, away at Man United, at home to Leicester. But then they've got Norwich and Sheffield United, the two promoted teams, back-to-back. And another one, Yuri Tielemans, not sure whether he's classic differential, but I saw Leicester a couple of times towards the end of last season. He had a huge impact when he came in from Monaco. 3 goals and 4 assists in 13 appearances, playing in an advanced attacking midfield role. Leicester have bought Jose Perez to play alongside Jamie Vardy, so that's an extra centre-forward for Tielemans to be creating chances for. And they're at home to Wolves on the opening day, which I think is, you know, a decent-looking fixture for Leicester.
Beyond that opening game, not the greatest set of fixtures to begin the season with for Leicester, so I must admit I was kind of going to bide my time with them. But I'm really tempted by Jose Perez. As you mentioned, he'll be playing in a forward role, but he's classed as a midfielder, which puts him in a really attractive category of fantasy player, Neil. Midfielders who will be up front and scoring goals, because they're classed as midfielders, they earn more points per goal than a centre-forward would.
Yeah, we brand these out-of-position assets in the fantasy world. And as you say, Perez will get more points for goals and clean sheets.
Richarlison's another one at Everton. Mo Salah at Liverpool, of course.
Yeah, there's a debate about who should be classed as a forward and midfielder, but generally if you're a central figure and attack your clusters of forward if you're playing out wide, you're a midfielder. But yeah, as we've said before, there's a lot of value to be gained from getting someone like Perez, who could well be playing up top alongside Vardy in a diamond. Rodgers has trialled that in pre-season. And I don't think Leicester's fixtures are too bad, actually. I think a Wolves team that's been playing in Armenia 3 days previous, Chelsea's been leaking in pre-season, and then Sheffield United, Bournemouth. So Perez definitely on my watch list.
Okay. Midfielders, by the way, get 5 points for every goal they score. Forwards only 4 points. Defenders get 6 points per goal. And we should really talk about defenders. We've not really listed too many options. A couple of differential options in that category. John Lundstrom of Sheffield United, only 4 million. So he's what I would call an enabler. Because the money you save on him will enable you to get your Sterlings and Harry Kanes. What do you think about John Lundstrom as an option?
I think, yeah, people are looking for the Wan-Bissaka of last year, because what you want is an option on the bench who enables you to get these heavy hitters, who plays as well for an emergency sub appearance. Lundstrom is a funny one. He's a defensive midfielder. I don't think he's ever been a defender. So he won't get you many points other than the occasional clean sheet. But he has been featuring a lot in pre-season alongside Norwood and Flick.
What about Matt Target then? Because he is a sort of attacking defender. More chance of him getting forward if he plays for Villa.
A player I prefer, I think, over Aston Villa's left-back is the right-back, who is Frederic Gilbert. Is that right, Julian?
Yeah, Gilbert, yeah.
He was signed in January and then loaned straight back out. But he's featured very prominently in pre-season. Looks very attack-minded.
Yeah, very good. Good on the ball, good cross over the ball as well.
And those fixtures, too good to turn down, I think. But 4.5 million, one to watch.
It looks a good shout. And Moise Kean for Everton, who had an incredible run for Juventus, coming into their side, not an easy thing to do for a teenager in Serie A, scoring 7 goals in 5 appearances, just phenomenal numbers. And it's been a big surprise for many Juventus supporters, the fact that he's come to Everton. Tom, I know you're harbouring a couple of other secrets that you're ill-disposed to give away, but they involve Sheffield United defenders. Why?
Yes, Chris Basham and Jack O'Connell, both priced at 4.5 million. And last season, Sheffield United played this incredible attacking 3-5-2 where the centre-backs provided the width. This is O'Connell and Basham getting forward, overlapping the full-backs and the midfielders and putting crosses in. So Sheffield United's fixtures aren't great, and obviously you're wary of picking players who play in defensive positions for a promoted team, but could be a source of some unexpected attacking points there.
I can't believe you're giving people those kind of ideas. It's just suicidal.
But they're cheap, aren't they? What, they're
4.5 each. Mm-hmm. So, they fall into the bargain category.
Food for thought, Tom.
Food for thought, indeed. Mm.
All right. By the way, if you've got a question for us here on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast, do send it in via Twitter with the hashtag FPLpod, and we'll be getting to those in next week's show. Of course, we're going to be here throughout the season. Jules, Tom and Neil will be returning as part of our cast of characters. For now, though, that's where we wrap up this inaugural episode. Many thanks, everybody, for being here. Listener, thanks for joining us. As I say, we will be back next week, of course, reviewing who did what in Game Week 1 and what we need to do to get ready for the next round of fixtures. Hopefully, we've been of some help as we build our teams. Remember, get them in before 7 o'clock UK time on Friday evening. And don't leave it to the last minute either, because you never know what might happen. Your laptop might run out of juice, or who knows, or you might just forget, like I do every time there's a Friday deadline. So get your teams sorted early, get them sorted well. Best of luck for the opening weekend of the season, and we'll speak to you next week.